Good afternoon and thanks for joining us today. Today we're going to be talking about trusting God for the purpose of your life. Let's just pray before we start. Dear Lord, we just pray that today people's minds will be open to what you have to say to them, Lord. That they will hear your message and that something may touch them, Lord. That they will be changed and that they may learn from what they hear. We pray that people be able to enhance their lives and learn to trust you more. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. What we're going to look at today is a few topics which I put together on purpose, because they actually fit together quite well. First, let's look at what it really means to trust God. Let's start off with an illustration of what trust is all about. Back in the 19th century, there was a man named Blondin, who was an acrobat, famous for his tightrope act 160 feet above Niagara Falls, on a rope which was over 1,000 feet long. In 1860, a royal party from Britain saw Blondin cross the tightrope on stilts and again blindfolded. After that, he stopped halfway, cooked and ate an omelette. Next, he wheeled a wheelbarrow from one side to the other and then returned with a sack of potatoes in it. Then Blondin approached the royal party. He asked the Duke of Newcastle, "Do you believe I could take a man across the tightrope in this wheelbarrow?" "Yes, I do," said the Duke. "Hop in then," replied Blondin. Well, the Duke declined Blondin's challenge. He might have believed Blondin could do it, but it wasn't about to trust him with his life. When it comes to God, this kind of belief is not much good to him. God is looking for followers who would trust him with their lives. Let's see what the Bible says about putting our trust in God. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and who has made the Lord his hope and confidence." Psalm chapter 9 verse 10 says, "And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." So what does it mean to trust God? Well, trust is more than thinking you trust God. Trust is a doing word. It is active will that is continuous, not just a once-off thing. Trust is believing that God can take care of your life no matter what the issue or problem. But the biggest issue with trust is that we must trust God for everything in our lives, not just for a few things. Like we say we trust God to take care of our finances, and yet we don't trust him to take care of our relationships. God wants total dependence on him. Much like a baby relies on its parents to take care of all its needs, we too must be like that, depending on God to supply and meet all our needs. When we try to do the things in our lives through our own strength, firstly, we will fail because our strength has a limit. And secondly, we will say to God through our actions that we don't need his help, and we show a streak of independence and rebellion. It makes sense to trust God for all our needs because life can present situations where we can see no end or no way out. But the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 18 verse 27, says, Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." No situation is too difficult for God to handle or to sort out. But we must trust him with it and ask him to help. Trust requires us to admit our weakness and need for help. That ties in with what I spoke about last week, being humble and not thinking that we can do it all by ourselves. If you don't trust in God, now is the time to ask him. However, it will not be easy to learn. God will take you to the edge of reason, to the edge of understanding, and put you into situations where you have no choice but to trust and believe that God will make a way out. To grow faith, it requires stretching, and that requires situation that goes beyond our understanding, beyond our control. Trusting in God fully is like what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. We live by faith and not by sight. And what is faith? Well, Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Or as the New Living Translation puts it, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So by the understanding and the old cliche, seeing is believing, is no longer good enough. We must change that into believing is seeing. I mean, look at the story of Abraham, who asked by God to sacrifice his son. He could have hesitated or begged God to spare his son. And yet he took Isaac, without doubting or hesitation, up the mountain, even put him on the altar, and was ready to take his life, all because he trusted God. And because of the trust, God provided a ram for Abraham to use instead of his son. When we trust God, he can improve our lives. He can direct them in paths that he knows is the best for us. We all too commonly see only the small picture, but God sees the big picture. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." The main reason we should trust God is because the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." God doesn't just care for you. He cares about us and what happens to us and about what we're going through. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 to 11, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from the heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." God has plans for us. So if we would just trust him and allow him to take control, we will be better for it. Now our lives may not be all smiles and a bed of roses. There will be valleys and there will be mountaintops. But in the end, it will be joyous and meaningful. I mean, trusting God fills us with hope. Without God, as the world tries to survive this life, what gets them through but sheer will? Many people don't make it. Many people take their lives, and they can't deal with life because they have no hope. They are hopeless. Okay? And life becomes a desperate existence and lose all its meaning. God wants us to do great things in our lives, but that means we must trust him in the good times and the bad, because even the bad times he will use to grow us. It's not easy, and in the tough times it's especially hard to trust God, and you won't understand why everything seems to be going wrong. But that's when God is waiting for us to turn to him and trust him to work it out for us in the way that is best. We must not make the mistake of trying to understand why things are happening, but rather turn to God and trust throughout our struggles that God is working in us. As it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Proverbs 3, chapter 5, verse 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your soul, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So, we have to trust God whether or not we understand what is going on in our lives. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose." That doesn't mean that God causes bad things to happen to us. It just means that God can take even the bad things or circumstances and turn them into something good that can be used to add to our character and build us up. We may not see it that way when we are going through it, and it's even tempting to say, "God, if you cared, you wouldn't let this happen to me." But does God care? Of course he does. And that may be why he's allowing it to happen, so that he can use it as something good in your life. The truth is, bad things happen to good people. Just because we are Christians doesn't mean nothing bad will happen to us. But it's not God's fault. As mankind has been for centuries, we are quite capable of getting ourselves into mess without God helping us. Okay, so we've talked about trusting God and how we do that. But what about purpose? How does that fit in? Well, without trusting God with our lives, we cannot hope to find our purpose in life, because we will not trust his guidance. So what is your purpose in life? Well, many people have trouble with this question. Some people know their calling on their life from a very young age. For instance, they might find it easy to share the gospel with others. They might inspire others to believe and do great things for God. You could easily see this person might be destined to be an evangelist. Or maybe as someone grows up, they find it easier to give advice and sit down, help other people with problems. They share the knowledge of the Word of God and help other people to learn. We would call a person like that a pastor or a shepherd. Now, these people might not have an official title. Recognize that titles, especially where the church is concerned, is usually given because a body of believers recognizes the calling on a person's life. Some people might be a good preacher, but not a pastor. Some a good pastor, but not a very good preacher. We should be careful not to make too many assumptions when it comes to your life purpose. Many people can live their lives without reflecting on life itself, or its meaning for them. Their lives may be full of activities, they may marry, have children, run a business, or become scientists or musicians or some other thing, without even obtaining any degree of understanding of why they do these things. Their lives have no overall purpose to give meaning to separate events, and they may have no clear idea of their own purpose or identity, or who they really are. Even the Bible says in two different verses the same thing. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, and Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." In a book named The Purpose-Driven Life, written by a man named Rick Warren, it looks at our true purpose in life and why we're all created by God. Let's just look at a small snippet of what it says. It's not about you. The purpose of your life is for greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you are placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You are born by His purpose and for His purpose. The search for the purpose of life has puzzled people for thousands of years. That's because we typically begin at the wrong starting point, ourselves. We ask self-centered questions like, what do I want to be? Or what should I do with my life? What are my goals, my ambitions, my dreams for my future? But focusing on ourselves will never reveal our life's purpose. The Bible says it is God who directs the lives of His creatures. Everyone's life is in His power. Contrary to what many popular books, movies, and seminars tell you, you won't discover your life's meaning by looking within yourself. You've probably tried that already. You didn't create yourself, so therefore there's no way you can tell yourself what you were created for. If I handed you an invention you had never seen before, you wouldn't know its purpose, and the invention itself wouldn't be able to tell you either. Only the creator or the owner's manual could reveal its purpose. The same is true with us. We cannot truly know our own purpose right off the mark. No, it is impossible. Only God, our creator, knows that. It is written in our blueprints, which He made. How then do we discover the purpose you were created for? You have only two options. Your first option is to speculation. This is what most people choose. They conjecture, they guess, they theorize. When people say, "I've always thought life is," they mean, "This is the best guess I can come up with." The second option is to read the Bible or the owner's manual and ask God, since He is our creator. Let's take a look at Psalm 139, verse 14 for a moment, which says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows very well." Now you may ask, what has this verse got to do with my purpose? Well, let's take a look at the two words here, fearfully and wonderfully. To most people, if you were to ask them what these words really mean, and if they can take a guess at the description, they don't really explain or describe what this verse is trying to tell us. If we look at the Hebrew meanings behind these words, we find out that fearfully, which is the Hebrew word is yare, means, in this instance, to cause astonishment and or inspire reverence or godly fear. And wonderfully, which is the Hebrew word behind that, is pala, which means to be distinct, marked out, be separated, be distinguished, or set apart. Now, if we use the original Hebrew meanings together with this verse, what we see is that when God created each of us, He was inspired. Much like an artist would be with a new canvas, to create something completely unique that cannot be reproduced exactly the same. God put a lot of effort and thinking into creating you. We are God's masterpieces. We can sometimes dislike something about ourselves, and that can be a real weakness. Like me, for example. I'm legally blind. Many people don't know that about me. But I don't let it stop me. I don't act that way. No, I rise above it. Some people say that's easy for me to do, or say, but it's taken me a long time to learn how to do that, and I need God's help to achieve it. But if I use it as a crutch, I shall never rise above it. It will rule over me and dictate my life and limit what I can do. Now, I could let myself get depressed, and at times in my life I did, and I have done that. Or I can look at that, and I can say, God made me this way, and He has a reason for doing it. And that is true. I've had many benefits from my apparent weakness. For instance, being able to witness and talk with people who are visually or otherwise disabled, and relate to them on a level they can understand. Instead of our weakness being a downfall, we can use it as a refuge, a strong tower, to brave the storms of the world sent against us, and know that God has a plan and purpose for our lives. When God created you, He thought about what eye color you'd have, how tall you were, right down to the smallest detail, number of eyelashes you have, whether you have a freckle on your nose, whether you have red ears, what color of your hair, everything. God designed every little thing about you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. In Psalm 139, verse 13, it says, "For you created my inmost being, knit me together in my mother's womb." Okay, and also in Matthew chapter 10, verse 3, and Luke chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered." God even chose the numbers of hairs on your head. How specific is that? Now, it also says that we are set apart. We can see that each one of us is created unique. That means that God has assigned each of us a unique purpose that only you or I can fill. Now, whatever our unique purpose, only we can fill that. Now, understand this. No other person who has come, who is now, or will come, can fulfill your purpose in life. It is yours and yours alone. If you are involved in one of God's many plans as part of your purpose, and you do not fulfill it for whatever reason, He will raise another person to fulfill that plan. But He cannot raise another person to fulfill your purpose. But that plan will not be done in the way that He designed it or wanted it to be done, because he had designed it for you to be involved. He has set a purpose for each of us that fits who we are. Your purpose would not suit anyone else. Just like every snowflake is unique, so are we, and the purpose we have in life. So this is why it is so important for us to trust God. He created us. He created our purpose for living. Apart from being created with a purpose to worship God and have a personal relationship with Him and interact with Him on a one-to-one basis, as all of us have that purpose, we all have a created for us a unique purpose that is for each one of us to be used in this life and as part of the body of Christ. Jesus said we need to have a childlike faith. The reason is, as we grow up, our faith becomes less believing without reason and more understanding to believe. We require, as we grow up, more reason to believe things, and that's not good enough. A child can just believe without having to understand it. As humans, we have trouble trusting God for our purpose, because we think, therefore, that the future is already written and we have no choices to make. Or we feel that submission on that kind of deep level makes us some kind of robot, just following an already set path. But that is not true. God doesn't reveal your whole purpose to you right off the bat. If He did that, we would screw it up and we would run ahead. No, He walks the path with us and gives us guidance on which way we should go as we ask for it. As a few people in this room know, God is a need to know God. And most of the time, He decides we don't need to know. So the answers He gives us are either vague or not what we're looking for. But the answers we need to follow the right path are there. He knows we will run ahead of Him if He tells us too much. So He keeps it small and simple. The heaven is an important destination. Life is not about, it's not all about the destination. Life is about the journey. Trust God and take that journey with Him, and you will find that life will take on a higher meaning, and that when all is said and done, you will find that you have enjoyed life and have no regrets. What are regrets? Regrets are realizations made too late. Don't let that happen to you. Let go and let God guide. So I pray, as you have listened to this sermon, as you go away from here, that God will remind you of things that you have heard, and that you too can trust God for the purpose of your life today. Dear Lord, I just pray, as people listening, that, Lord, their hearts will absorb what you've had to say. That, Lord, we can learn to trust you in all situations, even when things seem completely hopeless and we're full of stress and anxiety, that we will remember that you will make a way. If we are trusting in you, if we are believing that you can save us, Lord, that you have our best interests at heart, that we will believe that you will make a way no matter how desperate it seems. We just pray that, Lord, that I just pray that you be with people, Lord, and that you would strengthen their faith. And they would come to know you in a much deeper way, so that they can trust you for the purpose of their life. Amen.